It is December the 30th. Can you believe it? We are almost putting a close on 2018. It's hard to even imagine, isn't it? Truly, where has the year gone? Each year just seems to zip by a little faster than the one previous to it. We have heard environmental studies tell us that we're having global warming going on, right? That the world's getting warmer and warmer. Well, I have my own hypothesis that we're having a gradual speeding up of the time continuum. That's what I think is happening. As days go by faster, weeks zip by sooner, months go by in a blur, and a year's gone one after another. What do you think? Could it be that there's some sort of global speeding that's going on? That's what's happening, a global speeding. And my hypothesis is that this global speeding, this speeding up of the time continuum is impacted by social media pollution. That's what I think is happening. The more we pollute our lives with phones and iPads and computers and TVs, the faster the clock seems to spin. The more time that we waste and the faster time goes by. Actually, I had somebody after the 8:30 service that told me that his theory is that it's metabolism. That as you grow older, your metabolism slows down, but the time keeps moving at the same speed. And so you do less things in the amount of time that you've had. And when you were younger, it felt like time was longer because you got more done. Kind of that kind of thing. That's possible too. who never seems to be concerned about time, who never is worried about the clock or the calendar? You know who it is? It's children. Children just don't care. I mean, just think about it. Kids just live. They just do. They don't think about growing another day older or seeing another year slip by. They just delve into life, and they just live it all the time. Friends, I think that we have something that we can learn from that. And I'm going to, and going into a new year, I think that there should be one major goal that we have. I don't believe in New Year's resolutions, but I believe in goals. And I think that our goal going into 2019 should be that we go into that year having a childlike faith, being childlike. Now, some of you married ladies in the room, you're already probably staring daggers at me because you're thinking, I don't want my husband acting any more like a child than he already does. I got it. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're saying. I'm not saying that we should be children in 2019. I'm not saying that we should be more childish in 2019. I'm saying that we should be more childlike. I mean, after all, Scripture tells us to have faith like a child. So what would that look like if we were to live that out in our lives? Well, what I've done, friends, is I've taken an old message that I actually did 11 years ago when my children were young, when Rebecca was 7, Adeline was 5, Eli was 4, and Jenna was 2, where I did a message on having a dad's perspective on having a childlike faith by looking at then my young children and other young children that I knew about. And I've taken that message and I've dusted it off. I've updated it a bit to take us into a message going into the new year and having a childlike faith, to have that kind of perspective of looking at little kids. So let's pray and let's talk about having a childlike faith. God, I am so grateful for how clear your word speaks to us. And when it says to come to you like a child, that's for a purpose. It says something about my heart, and it says something about my mind, and it says something about my action and my steps, that it should be really innocent, that I should come to you just really like a kid that doesn't know anything yet, but expecting everything from you. God, help us to really focus in on that kind of a perspective of just being your children, coming with a child's faith. Lord, teach us about that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the scriptures that's taken just new life to me since the time that I became a father is Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. And they say this, they say, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So Jesus is about to tell us what it means to be great, who's the greatest in heaven. He's about to answer that question. And this is what happens. He called a little child and said to him, stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and for him to be drowned into the depths of the sea. Friends, we're going to focus on two themes here in this passage. The first theme is characteristics of having a childlike faith. The second theme is our responsibility to those who are childlike. So let's begin with some characteristics of a childlike faith. Now, keep in mind, like I already said, that Jesus doesn't say that he wants us to become like a child, to become a child. He says that the greatest are those who humble themselves like a child. And unless we change and become like children, we'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, God's not just looking for us to make some sort of verbal decision to be a Christian. He's looking for a heart conversion, a change for us to be different in light of what Jesus has done for us. We won't be known as a Christian because we simply claim it with our mouth or because we take up membership in a church somewhere. We'll be known as a Christian by the fruit of our life. By the fruit of our life. To better understand what it means to become like a child in our spiritual walk with the Lord, I want to share with you some revelations that I found in watching my own children when they were young and other children in general. And from my observations, I've come up with several characteristics of having a childlike faith, and I want to quickly run through some of those with you this morning. The first is this. The first characteristic of having a childlike faith is trust. It's trust. You know, I am amazed at the amount of trust that children put in their parents and in their grandparents and into others. Babies come into this world completely, friends, completely dependent on their parents, right? They can't eat, they can't drink, they can't even roll over without their parents' assistance. Their trust for their parents then, it grows very quickly as they learn that their parents will provide for every need that they have. I've been amazed at the amount of trust that our children placed in Caroline and me when they were young. Like I said, 7, 5, 4, and 2. And even younger than that, I started to really notice it with our first child, Rebecca, when she was like 13 months old. We were at Caroline's mom's house for a Thanksgiving weekend. And Rebecca was really beginning to want to learn to stand on her own. She did that a little later than some kids do. Now, she talked pretty fluently, it felt like, right out of the womb. She talked really fast, but the standing walking was a little bit later. And Caroline's mom had this big chair that I liked to sit in at the time, and then she had this big stool, or you might call it an ottoman, that was in front of the chair. And so what I would do is, Rebecca was learning to stand, I would sit in that chair, and then I would stand her up in front of me, leaning on that big stool, so she could kind of stand there on her own like a big girl. She loved to do that. Then one time, all of a sudden, she just dropped straight back into my arms. It was a good thing I was paying attention. She came back and I caught her. And I thought she had just lost her balance at first. Until a few moments later, she did it again. And then she did it again. And then she did it again. And she continued to do it. When I really watched her closely, I realized what that little stinker was doing. She'd let go of the stool, she'd stand straight for the moment, then she'd roll her eyes back to make sure I was there, and then she would just drop back, just deadpan, believing that I was going to be there to catch her in my arms every time. And friends, what I realized was that she trusted me. She had no doubts that Daddy was going to catch her every time that she fell back. She continued to do that through the whole weekend. Whenever I sat in that chair and I stood her up in front of that stool, every time she would just keep falling back because she trusted me. Listen, if we're going to have a childlike faith, we need to trust the Lord in that same way. We need to trust him. We need to be willing to stand and just to drop back and to believe that he's going to catch us every time. The old phrase, many of you have heard it before, is let go and let God, right? You let go and you let God. Do you really trust God like that? When Rebecca trusted me, what happened was is that endeared me to her all the more. And it's got to be similar to that with God and us. When we trust him enough to know that he's going to always catch us when we fall, you know what? It's got to warm his heart. It has to. It says in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths what? Make your paths straight. Straight. So let me ask you, friends, as you go into 2019, it'll be here in just 2 days. Just 2 days. So as you go into 2019, what is it that you're needing to trust God with? Some of you haven't been trusting God. Not really. Not in the sense of just dropping straight back, believing he's going to catch you. Some of you haven't. So what is it you need to trust him with? Most of us are more like adults who go out roller skating for the first time in their life and they've never learned how. And if they go out roller skating, what they even will venture onto the floor, what they usually do is what? They hold onto that railing by the side. And they stay by that railing. Most adults will stay there the whole night. And they'll never venture out into the thick of it where others are skating around on the floor. Why? Well, because they don't want to fall, of course. But they don't. It's not so much that they don't want to get hurt. They actually are more concerned about their pride than they are falling on their bum. They really are. They're about falling in their pride. As adults, we often become over-concerned about what other people think about us, and it keeps us from ever learning to really skate. Why? Because you can't learn to skate when you're holding onto the railing. If you're not going to let go of the railing and venture out, you'll never get it. You've got to let go to skate. Now, if a child goes out to learn to skate for the first time, he or she might hold onto that railing for a little bit, but I'm telling you, little kids, they're going to be out there in the thick of it real quick. They see all that action on the floor, and that's where they want to be, so they're going to go out, and they're going to, even if they fall down, they'll get up, and they'll keep doing it until they learn how to skate. Here's my encouragement for you in 2019. Become childlike enough to trust God. And to let go of the railing and to step out into the thick of it. Just do it. Step into it with him. Not thinking that you'll never fall, but trusting that God's going to catch you every time that you do. Or at least he's going to show you how to get back up again if he needs to allow you to fall for a moment. Trust him. That's the first thing of childlike faith. Here's the second, is you need to be carefree. That's the second characteristic. I'm also just really amazed to see how carefree children are. You don't see children who are weary and heavy laden. You don't see children with rings under their eyes and bags below their eyes from sleepless nights of worry. If you do, that's a good indication that something's going on at home that needs to be addressed, that needs some attention. Now, teens, they start to worry pretty early, but not children. Not children. They play hard all day and then they crash at night. That's what they do. There's possibly no better time to see the carefree spirit of children than at Christmas time, right? And many of you have just witnessed that in this last week. I remember being at my parents' house many, many years ago on Christmas Day. It was so long ago that it was just Caroline, me, and one child, Rebecca. She was maybe one or something, I don't know, but we were just this young family. But also there were my nieces and my nephews, and they were all just these bunch of little kids around. And at that time, there were 7 grandkids in all. Now there are 13. But even with 7 grandchildren, these children were running all around the house. My nephew Eric, who's now 21 or 22, he was 4 years old at the time. And you know what his biggest concern was? It was getting all of his cousins, all the kids down in the basement for a Space Rangers meeting. Whatever that is. I have no clue what that is. My niece, Kaylee, she was 8 years old. She's now around 26 or 27. I'm doing her wedding next November. But her biggest concern then was making sure that everybody saw her new Christmas shirt because it was black and it had this aqua fur around the wrists and this aqua fur around her neck. And she wanted everyone to see it as she would twirl around the house. My nephew Ryan, who was 6 at the time, he's now 23 or 24. His mom, my sister, and his dad, they couldn't get him to eat anything. Not all day long, because all he was concerned about was having time to play with his cousins. I learned from my sister later that night that after we all left, they were the last ones to leave. Late at night, he finally sat down and had some supper. Do you remember that, though? Do you remember that carefree spirit of when you were just a little kid? I still remember that. I remember feeling like nobody could run faster than I could in my new sneakers. Do you remember that feeling? I remember getting up just to another day to dig out the toys that I had made a mess with the day before and to play with them. I remember busting out the door to go outside and play. We had this huge lilac bush in our yard that at some point when we were older, my parents took it out and we all had a fit because when we were kids, it was so big, you could climb through it like it was woods. And on the other side, there was this area of dirt, and I remember digging these little trenches in the dirt. I thought I was building a creek. I was so excited, and I poured the water in, and I didn't understand why it didn't flow. It just soaked into the dry dirt. But I thought that I was building a creek. I remember that childlikeness, that child spirit when you were little. Can you tap into that a little bit? Now, I'm not suggesting that having a childlike faith is all fun and games, and that it's never being serious about anything, but instead just playing around. I'm only trying to help us to catch the carefree spirit that Jesus spoke about when he said in Matthew 6:34, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." And in Matthew 6:27, "Can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to his life?" Friends, nothing will bog you down quicker than worry. And what does it benefit you but a few more wrinkles beneath your eyes and a few restless nights' sleep? 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all anxiety, all your cares on him because he cares for you." He cares for you. That verse doesn't say that you go through life caring about nothing. It says that you cast those cares on him because he loves you and he cares for you and he wants to take you through those times. Going into 2019, what are some of the worries, some of the cares that you've been carrying around all year of 2018, maybe all of 2017, maybe all of 2016, maybe before that, all those cares that you can't do a single thing about on your own? What are those things that you're allowing to bog you down? How about this? Why don't you come to Jesus with a childlike faith and cast it on him? Cast all of it on him. Because he's offering that to you right here and now to take it for you, to take it all. Why? Because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. The third characteristic of a childlike faith is to be joy-filled. Do you know what one of the most precious sounds are that I've ever heard in my life? It was listening to my kids when they were little children laugh. Oh man, there's nothing like that. I mean, I'm telling you that it's got to be one of the sweetest things that I've ever heard, and I especially remember it with Jenna when she was little. What's great about it is you didn't even always have to do anything to provoke her to laugh. Sometimes she just put on the sweet little smile, and she'd just start laughing. Her brother or her sisters would do something silly, and she'd just start giggling. I could listen to that all day long. I remember when we would just have to pretend we were going to tickle her. We didn't even have to touch her. Just get close to her tummy and wiggle your fingers, and she would just start giggling. Recently, Matt and Becca were at our house with little Millie, and she was giggling at each of our kids. That little giggling of a little kid, there is nothing like it in the world. It's one of the most beautiful sounds that you can hear. When Adeline was little and she would get out of sorts, she'd get grumpy about something, the best thing you could do is help her turn it around and make her start laughing. You'd just say, "Now, don't you laugh. I mean it, don't you laugh." And she would start laughing and the grumpy pants would be gone and joy would fill the room. And it was different. When our children would laugh and they would giggle, it would make me feel so good inside. And even now as they're teenagers, if they get goofing around the house and they start laughing or giggling together, it's one of my favorite things to hear. I love to just sit back, don't even know I'm doing it. I'm sitting back in the room and maybe they're in the kitchen or another part of the house and they get doing something silly and they're laughing. And sometimes Caroline and I'll just look at each other and grin. It is one of the best things that you can experience. Friends, when's the last time that the joy in your life radiated so loudly that those around you felt good from its vibrations? Just being around you, because of the joy that you're bringing out. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about feelings here. I'm not necessarily talking about being happy. We're not always going to feel good. We're not always going to feel happy. But those who have a childlike faith always have an underlying joy in their hearts that no person, no circumstance, no devil, no demon can ever take away from you. Can never take it away from you. No one and nothing can ever rob you of the joy of Christ. You can only surrender it. It can't be taken from you. You have to give that joy. You have to let go of it yourself not to have it. You can only surrender it. Psalm 16:11 says, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Catch that. It says eternal pleasures, not temporary ones. Eternal. And let me ask you, did you perhaps take yourself a little bit too seriously through part of 2018, maybe all of 2018? Did you perhaps take yourself a little too seriously? How about in 2019 that we shed the adult skin a little bit and slip on the childlike face skin enough and decide to laugh? And decide to laugh a lot in 2019, no matter what the circumstances are. Proverbs 17:22 tells us, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Maybe that's why so many of us crackle, pop, and snap, because when we get up and down and walk around, because we've allowed ourselves to be so crushed in spirit that our bones have dried up. Take onto yourself the laughter of a child and see what it does to your spirit and see what it does to your body. Here's the fourth characteristic of a childlike faith, is to be zealous. Have you ever seen more energy than the energy that you see in a child? I bet you haven't. I remember different times hanging out with our kids when they were young, and either Caroline or I would say, "Just look at them. They never stop moving." One time Caroline said to me, "They never hold still." And then she said something like, "Can you imagine the calories that we'd burn if we moved like that?" Now, they don't move nearly as much now as they did then, since they've become teenagers. But you've seen little kids do that, haven't you? Children have a contagious zeal for life that many adults seem to lose somewhere along the way. When the kids were little, I'd start wrestling with them. If I got on the floor, I started wrestling with Eli. I mean, it was like opening a can of worms, because once you started, he was relentless. He was just going to keep coming. Doesn't matter how bad he was getting beaten. By the way, I can still beat him today. It doesn't matter. He wasn't going to stop. Isn't it that way with all kids? If mom or dad will get down on the floor and just wrestle with them, they won't stop until you finally say, "Okay, that's enough. It's time to stop." And if I started wrestling with one of the kids, it wasn't long before the other three would jump in, and I was pulling them off my legs and off my arms and off my back, because they had this relentless zeal. When's the last time that you had that kind of relentless zeal for the Lord? I mean, just think about it. When's the last time that you had that kind of relentless zeal for reading the Bible? When's the last time you had that relentless zeal for being in prayer, for meeting and speaking with God? If you want a great 2019 goal, that's it. Give me, God, a relentless zeal to be in your word. Give me, God, a relentless zeal to spend time with you. When's the last time you had a relentless zeal to serve God and to serve other people? Those with a childlike faith are zealous. They're eager to grow, eager to serve, eager to stand up and be counted for Christ. Many of us were zealous like that when we first became Christians. But then what happened, right? We got mature, right? We got mature, and we decided that that relentless spirit to serve Christ, that's for the younger Christians. Well, listen to Paul's words of affirmation to the zealous Christians in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 9:2. He says, "For I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year in Achaia, you were ready to give, and enthusiasm has stirred most of them into action." Friends, does your enthusiasm stir others into action? Or does your lack of enthusiasm cause them to sit on their can? Are you so enthusiastic for Christ that it's spilling out to others, that they start moving as well? Let 2019 be a year of unbridled enthusiasm for Jesus Christ. Fifth characteristic is to be awestruck. I mean, have you noticed how awestruck children are with their parents? They really are. Children love to have all of their parents' attention because in their minds, there is nobody else like mommy and daddy. There isn't. Somewhere and somehow that gets lost in adolescence, but not while they're little children. Children think that mom and dad know everything, and they'll believe whatever answer you give them to their questions. I remember when Eli and Adeline were little, I'd like to tease them with saying some outlandish things sometimes. And when they'd ask me, I would say something and be teasing them, say something silly. They would say, "For real, Daddy? For real?" Because even if it sounded silly, if I answered and I said, "Yeah, for real," they would believe me. Even if it was something silly. Children think that mom can make any hurt go away, and they think that dad is the strongest man in the world. Children love to wear mom's jewelry and put on dad's shoes and walk around the house because they want to be like them. Dads and moms, your children are awestruck by you. Your little children are awestruck by you. Sometimes adolescents, it does something weird to them, and they miss that, but it'll come back. It'll come back because it's come back for me when I've seen my parents now as an adult. And again, you're awestruck by all that they've been through, all that they've done for you. When they're children, you can do anything. When you have a childlike faith, you're just as awestruck by your heavenly Father. Oh, by God, wow, my God knows everything. Wow, my God can heal all my hurts. Wow, my God is stronger than any other being in the universe. Wow, I want to be just like my God. I'm so awestruck by him. That's a childlike faith. Listen to the psalmist's words about God's awesomeness in Psalm 33, verses 8 through 11. He says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations." Let God awe you in 2019. He's ready to do that if you'll simply believe that he can, if you'll simply believe that he wants to. The sixth characteristic of childlike faith is to be a learner. Children are sponges. They soak up every word and every action that we give them, be it good or bad, friends. Good or bad, they're going to soak it up from you. One day again, when Rebecca was around 13 months old, Caroline was standing in the mirror putting gel on her hair, and she turned and looked, and there next to her was Rebecca pretending, mimicking her, doing the exact same actions. Pretending she's putting that gel in her hair. When Eli was around 3 years old, Caroline bought him this little plastic mower for $4.99 from Discount Drug Mart. And she told him it was just for him. And friends, for about 5 or more years, Eli, he would follow me all around the yard whenever I mowed, about 8 feet behind me the whole time. He's got this cutest little picture of him, of this little guy. Believe it or not, he was a little guy at one time, following me as I mowed through the lawn. Every time I would mow, if he was allowed, he would be out there with me. And he wasn't just out there with me, he would mimic me. He had this little spade, and when I would clean the bottom deck of my mower, he'd take that spade and be cleaning his little plastic mower. And when I poured gas in my mower, he had a little watering can, he'd pretend he was pouring gas in his mower. And when I pulled the rope to start my mower, he was down pretending he was pulling the rope to start his mower. Whatever I did, he mimicked me as he did it. And it wasn't just when I was at home during the day. If I wasn't home and if he wasn't allowed outside, he'd be mowing inside the house. He'd pick up all the toys and he'd put them on the floor, put them all on the couch or in a chair, and he would mow the carpet. And golly, he'd mow inside the house all year round. The grass in the house grew all year round, and he wouldn't stop. He would do that, and he would do it just the way that I mowed the lawn. And just like I would do, I would mow. If he couldn't come out, he'd be at the window or the other kids. And every time I'd come by, I'd stop and I'd wave him at the window. So as he's mowing in the living room, every time he'd make a path, he'd stop and he'd wave at us. This little guy would stop and wave at us. And he would use the same mowing patterns on the carpet that we used outside. Those with a childlike faith are... Listen, they're the same way when it comes to Jesus and God and learning. They want to mimic Jesus and all that Jesus did. If you have a childlike faith, you want to see where did Jesus step? That's where I want to step. What did Jesus do? That's what I want to do. I want to learn from him. I want to be like a sponge. Those with a childlike faith, they're the same way when it comes to learning. They're constantly open to learning more. A common phrase that I use that you've maybe heard me say before is that leaders are learners. And the fact is if you're not a learner, then you'll never be in a position to be in leadership. You have to be still learning to be a leader. We never know it all. We've never got enough experience. We've never arrived. There's always another step to climb, always another lesson to learn, another piece of knowledge to gain. Those with a childlike faith, friends, they're learners. They're sponges. Jesus, give me more. Jesus, give me more. I want to be more and more and more like you. Proverbs 1:5 says, let the wise listen and add to their learning. It doesn't say let the foolish. It doesn't say the dumb. It says let the wise listen and learn, add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. Romans 15:4 says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. What learning goals can you set for 2019? Be childlike. Become a sponge to become more and more and more and more like Jesus. These are just a few characteristics of having a childlike faith. Now let's turn to the second theme of the scripture text for today. Let me read again from Matthew 18, verses 5 and 6. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Friends, these words from Jesus indicate that we have a real responsibility, not only to children, but also to those who have a childlike faith. The fact is that as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, we'll mature. Now, that doesn't mean that we ever stop being childlike. We have to be childlike to constantly be humble before God to learn more, but we will mature. However, it does mean that as we mature, we'll influence more and more younger Christians, others, children of the faith. And in this scripture, Jesus doesn't give us any other option than the fact that we will influence others. Even if we do nothing, you're influencing younger Christians to do nothing for Jesus. If you sit around as an older Christian and you're not doing anything for God, you're telling the younger Christian down the row, hey, this is what it looks like, and they can sit there and do nothing too. You're always influencing one way or the other. Jesus suggests that there are two options as to how more mature Christians can influence younger Christians. Option one is this, he says, is to welcome them in the name of Jesus. To welcome them in the name of Jesus. Now, Jesus isn't just referring to words of greeting here. The only way to really welcome someone in the name of Jesus is when we're showing them Jesus. He's not saying, hey, on behalf of Jesus, I welcome you to the church, to the body of Christ. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, take my new children in Christ, those who are young in the faith, and train them. Take those children of the faith and teach them. Show them what it means to have a childlike faith and to represent me with all of their life. It's very important that you do this. That's your first option. And if you don't take option one, then there's a second option for mature Christians responding to younger Christians. And it's this. This is what he says, is to lead them astray. You're either going to welcome them in Jesus and show them how Jesus walks and lives and eats and breathes and how we're to live as Christians, or you're taking option two, which is to lead them astray, to cause them to sin. Now, it's easy to think, I'm clear on this one. I'm certainly not causing anybody else to sin. But do you know what? We really have a huge responsibility here. I mean, this is serious stuff. Remember that young Christians have a faith like a child. And remember what we've said about children. Just like children, young Christians trust you. They're somewhat in awe of you as a more mature Christian. And they're like sponges in what they're going to learn from you. They're going to soak up from you all that you say and all that you do or don't do. Friends, I can't speak for you, but there are times when I say and I do the wrong things. There are times that I blow it. And when we do that, we could be leading others astray, possibly causing them to sin. We have a huge responsibility here. God will not put up with us causing his children to sin. Listen to Jesus' own words again in verse 6. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned into the depths of the sea. Friends, do you have that image of what he's saying in your mind? This is serious business. This is serious business. Do you know whom it is that gets the worst treatment in prisons without exception? It's child molesters. And maybe you've heard that before. The other prisoners, even the guards, have little grace, little mercy for child molesters in prison. If a child molester gets sent to prison, he will likely be beaten, gang raped, and maybe even murdered. Now, I find this quite a revealing fact that even our so-called worst of the worst in society, our murderers, our drug dealers, our rapists, and more, can't stand the fact that other adults are hurting children. Child molesters often need extra protection in prison just to survive. But hear this, do Jesus' words about those who hurt children sound any less serious? It would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea than for you to cause one of God's children to sin. As I said, this is serious business. Which option will you take? Welcoming younger Christians in the name of Jesus to show them what it means to walk with Jesus, or causing them to sin? Because those are the only two options that Jesus gives here. Listen, 2019 can be a red banner year for you and how you take responsibility with those who are younger in faith who are in your life. We all are influenced by others, and we all influence others, like it or not. So you choose. Will it be option one, welcoming them, or will it be option two, leading them astray? I leave you this morning with two challenges for 2019. First, humble yourself before the Lord and have a childlike faith. One that trusts the Lord, one that's carefree, one that's casting all your cares on him, one that's joy-filled, one that's zealous for the sake of Christ, one that's awestruck by God's greatness, and one that desires to continually learn to soak up Christ like a sponge thrown into a pool of water. My second challenge is that you take your responsibility as a Christian very seriously and seek to always welcome younger Christians in the name, the attitude, the behavior, the representation of what it means to walk with Jesus. Those are my challenges for you and for me in 2019. They're a goal. They're a challenge. They're not a resolution. They're what we want to aim toward. They're what we want to do. I want to be humble like a child, and I want to lead others into a deeper faith instead of away from it. I hope you'll take that challenge with me. Let's pray together. God, I just all of a sudden am brought back to the day that I accepted Christ and that period of time where somebody, a mature Christian, pulled me close and poured his life into me. so that I could mature and I could grow, that I could learn what it is to have a faith like a child, to be humble before you, and to learn to be like you. Some of us have come to Christ. We've never had anybody that's poured their life into us like that. We're struggling to reach maturity in our faith because all we have seen is lazy faith. And we need to find somebody that we can turn to, that we say, I see your faith and it seems real and alive. And in this year, it's my goal to become more alive in my faith. So will you teach me? Some of us have to deal with God because we have been so lackadaisical in our faith that we are literally causing others to sin. And we've never thought about that before today, but that's the fact. We're so lazy in our faith that that's what we're pouring into our own kids. That's what we're pouring into others we work with and around us. And we are actually leading others into sin. And God says our place is a millstone around our neck at the depth of the sea. It's time to wake up. It's time to take the challenge to say, I'm humbling myself today, Jesus, before you. I'm going to walk different today. I'm going to become like a child. I want to soak in all that you can pour in. God, I just thank you that you love us wherever we're at and you're ready to take us to the next place. And so humbly, we come before you in 2019. And we ask you, God, to change us and transform us. In the name and the image of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It could not be a more proper ending of this morning than to end with the words of a children's song. Because, friends, that's what you and I are. We're children. No matter how mature you think you are, what you think you become, you're still a child. You can't even roll over without God allowing you to do so. You can't even change your own diaper when you make a mess. You can't even feed yourself. You need Jesus to help you do all of it. And that's what it means to have a childlike faith. Jesus, just change me. I'm a mess. Change me. Move me. Roll me. Feed me. Jesus, I come to you like a child to have a faith that is what you call me to have. Friends, I love you all. Happy New Year, and we'll see you next year. God bless.